Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon.
This is Tony Williams.
And Chauncey Williams with What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
All right. Well, man. Yeah, we like to kick off with a little bit of sports talk for the audience.
I don't like sports no more.
You don't like sports no more. I wonder why.
Look, then, my boy Eddie Brown.
Oh, what did Eddie say?
Eddie has some tickets. You know, Eddie, he did the famous play against
Michigan. He did Desmond Howard, man.
So he had like 50 tickets to go to the Michigan State game. I went to the homecoming Friday night. We went to we got an award for the our program, me, Roddy, and Bernard.
Great.
For C3 and Fresh Start, what we did with the county, with the kids, and what DJ Hilson helped us organize. So we got that award. We took some of our players. So after that, we drove to Michigan State.
Okay.
You know? So I'm like, I'm down there. I see some of my friends. They say, hey, Chauncey, you going to be down for homecoming? I say, yeah, I'm going to come back tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
So I go to sleep, and then I got like 5 tickets. Eddie said, I'm going to have 5 tickets for you. Then I woke up. I was like, man, some of the kids, they was like, they going to Ferris. I was like, Michigan State didn't get sorry.
They going to Ferris.
I was so hurt. I had 5 kids. Like, oh, man, I'm going to Ferris. I was like, we done fell off.
Okay.
I was hurt. You just don't know how that is. You go from the top. I'm still a Spartan. I'm a Spartan for life. Yeah. But, like, usually when I tell kids, like, I got some Michigan State football game.
They down, tickets, man.
They're like, oh, I'm dropping everything.
That's right.
They was like, oh, yeah, my cousin played with Ferris. I'm going to Ferris. I was like, so I called. I said, man, only got one guy that want to come with me, man. I ain't coming. I feel hurt.
Right.
But that's the reason why. I had, like, 5 kids ready to go because he had a bus. He said, you can ride the bus. You can drive a truck, whatever. I got 5 tickets and you a ticket. So I was like, yeah, I'm rolling, right? So I called the kids. I said, yeah. They said, yeah, we going.
So
somebody called me Friday night late. They was like, their parent was like, they going to Ferris.
Oh, wow.
I said, gosh.
Oh, man.
I said, we done fell off.
We done fell off. Yeah, I seen Eddie had him posted on Facebook. I seen his little group with him. I thought that was nice, man. And he took some time out.
Yeah, we supposed to be with him. So I'm like, mine turned on me. They was like, they out of here.
Well, you know, they like front runners, man. You get a 3-game losing streak, Doc. You can't get tickets away. That was back in the day with the Lions.
That was homecoming.
That was homecoming, man.
So, like, my friends called, you ain't coming? I said, man, I supposed to be down there with some group of kids, man. I said, I might come tonight. And I just, then we got lead loss. I just really was in the dumps. So, I don't know.
Northwestern?
Yeah. And I think we had a lead at first.
14-0. 2 touchdowns.
That's them geniuses, them 32 ACT scores.
Okay. They just outsmarted them. You're going to trick them, man.
They tricked us. They did what I'm going to hit them with this one. We got to do. They did what Muskegon did him on the shores.
Right. They tricked him on the shores.
April Fool's. In October.
Yeah.
I know they was excited because the score was like, what? Because we was down there. It was like, we was watching this.
9-0, I think.
Zip. And the girls was like, ooh, 9-0. I said, that's a trick.
That's a trick. Tricked them, man. Came out in the second half and shut them down.
Yeah, that was a trick. So they got done like my Spartans done. So I'm on the show, don't worry about it. It's a game of football. And it's not life. And it's a friendly sport. Sometimes you up, sometimes you down. My Spartans is down.
Yeah, that's a good comparison, though, with the Spartans and the Shores, the Sailors. Because they were up a couple years ago. And they was battling for – made it to Ford Field.
Yeah, they made it. They did good.
And now they may not make the playoffs.
They may not make it.
It's like we know the Spartans won't this year.
Yeah, we won't.
But that's okay.
We still got 2 games if we can prove ourselves.
That's right. There's 2 games on the schedule.
Ohio State and Michigan. And we got nothing to lose.
Nothing. You're playing with house money, as
that's right. Let's go. records go off the table.
And they got them both at home, too, by the way.
Put all the reckless players on the field.
Right.
The ones don't listen to the coach. Just put them out there.
You go back to that thug mentality. Yeah.
Johnny helmet. Put somebody out there with their helmet on backwards and be like, look, let's go.
I didn't want to hit somebody, man.
I'm frustrated. I got to pass these classes.
Oh,
you know,
man.
This is that campus life, so. I was hurt, man.
It's been a tough season, man. It just, I don't know, just like it all of a sudden just happened. I didn't see it coming.
Yeah. And we had us ranked there. But, you know, I seen it coming.
You seen it coming?
I was around in the summertime. And they was like, oh, what you call it, transferred? He transferred. I was like, man, he was starting. He transferred. I was like, something we going down. Like, we still got a team, though. We going to be good. I was like,
okay.
You lost almost your whole line.
That's not good. In Big Ten football, man, it's smash mouth. You got to play. got to play every week.
Yep.
So.
Then the NBA about to kick off in the next week.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, Golden State looking pretty good in preseason. You know how that is.
Oh, yeah, man.
You're playing against second string guys, so.
Yeah, coaches are still trying to find out who they got. And, you know, it's going to be a good season. Man, what about those Indians, though, man?
Man, I told you, that's the King James.
Okay. Yeah, they look like they're going to have another championship parade in Cleveland, man.
Yeah, I'm telling you this, though. I look at it from a business perspective.
Oh.
Dan Gilbert.
They making some money in the city of Cleveland.
Gilbert. Now, now Dan Gilbert trying to figure out, like, okay, y'all see what I did with Cleveland, and I passed it to the Indians. Come on, Pistons. Come on, move downtown Detroit
move
for me.
Downtown, man.
Move downtown Detroit for me.
That's it.
If y'all move downtown Detroit, you might be back. The Lions might come back, man. Because look at that.
Give up. Yeah, that's great. That's
Dan Gilbert all over.
Influx of money, man.
Man, he got that bread. He put like, he pumped so much in downtown Detroit. He was there this summer just checking out the landscape and doing some logic, you know, just looking around at the territory. And I was just like, I remember being in downtown Detroit where it was like, don't walk around that block.
Okay.
Don't, not in the day, not at night.
But the thugs in the hoods hang out at night.
So now it's different. It's like, it's beautiful, man.
It really is, man. Nightlife is back, you know, in Detroit. Restaurants, shopping.
Bigger than sports.
Yeah.
It's bigger than sports down there. Yeah, you can have a losing team and manage to be still happy down there.
Oh, yeah. We go every year. Spend the holiday weekend, Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah, that's what
downtown,
we're doing this week.
Detroit,
we're doing that this year.
And have a great time, man.
Yeah, I'm doing that this year.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So, but, okay, next week, this week, rather, we're going to pick up where we left off.
Yeah, we talked about talking about money with your spouse or your boo.
Your boo.
Yeah, your boo. Like, Sweetie's Day just passed.
Yeah.
And my wife was like, because my birthday was, my birthday was Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, happy belated birthday, Brother Johnson.
So people tell her, like, my wife's like, it's Sweetie's Day. I'm like, it's for me. She's
okay.
Like, she's like, what you want to do? I'm like, nothing. Just chill.
Sweetie's Day.
I'm like, don't. I said, I'm not into all those commercial holidays.
No, that's what they are.
Somebody said that was Side Piece Sunday. That's what I heard.
Side Piece Sunday.
So I don't believe in that lifestyle. So that's what they say Sweetie's Day is. They call that Side Piece Sunday. So
yeah, well, it's every day for me, brother. Sweetie's Day is every day.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, I don't need no holiday to say I love my wife because I wouldn't be the man who I am today. And I'm not trying to get no cool points, but whoever I am, as a man by design, it's because of her and the sacrifices my wife has made, and I really appreciate who she is as a person. So
okay.
So I don't need a Side Piece Sunday. I don't need to go do this, do that.
That's funny.
My wife she the one. She know how to handle me. She know how to handle the king. Keep the king in line.
That's it.
Yep. So,
that's it.
So we're talking about kids. Kids.
And money.
And money.
What a great topic.
Money. I want to kick it off like this. I've been going to church with a young fella, and like I've been mentoring him. I'm not going to mention his name, but we do a lot of stuff together, and he asked me. Like, I want to hang with you, man. I'm like, all right, I'm going to hang. I just want to work out. He said, I'm going to go to church with you, man.
Oh, great.
So after we work out and everything, I want to do what you do. I was like, all right, that's different. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you really want to, like, I like what's going on. He said, I've been watching you. So I said, okay. So we go to church one day, and then he asked me about tithing.
Okay.
About money. I was like,
how does that work?
I said,
what's
man,
the principle?
I said, what's the principle?
Tithing?
I said, man, God said, trust me with the least, man. And I was talking about Malachi and just how you're supposed to look at money. And then, not really prosperity preaching, but I was telling him, I say, if you want good things to happen in your life, it's not like a magic wand. It's like the relationship of trust. It's like you got people that believe and they work for money, 2 and 3 jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to the point and you get so caught up in yourself that you forget the whole purpose.
Right.
Of what you want. Like, God gave you this breath, this ability to work and do all these other things, and you not turning none back to him because it's all his anyway. If you got, like, if I had an aunt, she used to tell me, say, if you got a dime out of a dollar, and you learn how to, you train yourself in behavior to give a dime out of a dollar, when you get to 10, a dollar won't matter.
No, it
when
won't.
You get to 100, a $10 won't matter. So it's like trusting with the least right now. So I was telling that kid, I said, if you learn anything, man, don't do it like I did the hard way about money. And not tied till I got older. I say tied now because I had people in my life sowing seeds. And they were getting blessed. And I was just trying to be like asking them, after they get blessed. Like, let me get this, right. Let me get that.
You tried to get yours on the exit.
Yeah, on the exit when they was getting it.
Right.
And I see, and they was telling me how they was getting it, and I didn't believe it. And now I look at how that system worked, because it's a system that was created before I was born. So it's like,
oh yeah.
And it still worked. And it's just about trust. So it's like, and I'm not advocating for no particular pastor or any church, but I'm just telling you, audience, if you want to be able to move your kids forward, get them to sow into a system of tithing.
Yeah.
That's first things first. I mean, you're like, oh, I don't believe in that. Well, if you don't believe in that, you believe in yourself and you trust in yourself. So what happens when you need to depend on God and you ain't been depending on him at all and you just been doing things on your own? It's a place between religion and psychology, and it's called depression.
Oh, okay.
So that's what I know. I don't want to be on that desert.
No.
No man is an island.
No.
And I'm not Gilligan. No. So I just know that. So I'm like, that's the first thing. If I would have a conversation with my kids and I'm giving them allowance, I would show them the system of tithing.
Mm-hmm.
And off the gross, not net.
Oh, no.
Don't pay the government, then pay God.
No.
Pay the tithe first. And you know, I'm sitting here with you anyway, so you already know. That's how you roll anyway.
Yeah,
that's why you have a blessed life and your family's blessed and everything. And I watch the maturation of people.
Truly believe it, man. But, you know, you brought up a great topic after speaking to ministers. And this is of all faiths.
Yes, sir.
Okay? And that is what they are afraid of is going to be the demise of the church, is because we don't have enough young people, okay, coming into the ministry that is going to tithe and give offerings to sustain the ministry.
Yes, sir.
You know, the weird thing about religion is that in our culture, when an individual is born, we don't look at it as another Christian being
born. That's a special
born,
thing.
Okay? But you look at the Muslim faith, okay? When a child is born in the Muslim faith,
yes,
you know what they look at him as? As another Muslim being born. There's no gray area. Okay, we can grow up to be, you know, we might be
any
a Protestant, a kind
yeah.
of a Baptist, whatever.
Like,
but not in the Muslim religion,
Messiah,
man.
Here come the king.
Okay.
That's how they looking at it. Here come the king.
And we can say what we want to say about the Muslims. But when you look at the families.
Oh, the discipline going to be there. Everything.
Okay, how they sustain their faith, right, wrong, or indifferent, you still have to look at the results of what you see.
And the fruits.
Okay.
Of their labor.
We'll deal with the hereafter in the hereafter.
And the blessings.
Okay.
That's in their life.
It's in their life, man. So it is something to really take a close look at when we're talking about sustaining Christianity.
But then when you talk about it, like I said, it go back to the trust. Like, if I say I'm a Christian
mm-hmm.
and I don't practice everything, am I really a Christian?
I think they call it a hypocrite.
Yeah. So if I don't, I go to church every Sunday. I go to Bible study. I read my word. I pray. I do all I'm supposed to do. You know, whatever church I go to, whatever the traditional things I'm supposed to do, I do. But then when it get to my money.
Okay. Now you got a different principle of philosophy.
Now I got a different perspective when it get to my money. I ain't going to get this money here. I'm not going to do this. I'm not gonna. So then basically all these things you love, say you love God, but you're short God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be on the short end of the stick. I want to be where I can rest and God will work.
Okay.
Not me working 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 jobs. I want to work for his, help his people, build his people, and I rest in his word, and he build what I need to do to come to and fro to them people. Like if I need a vehicle, I need this and this and that, A, B, and C. The prosperity, I'm not saying give me money, give me millions, God.
No.
But provide a way, a vehicle. Make me a resource. And just like looking at this, the woman at the well.
Mm-hmm.
And when she kept on going to the well to get the water, and then when she finally got the water, and one day Jesus was there at the well because he was on his journey, and she confronted him, and she's like, "What you about to do?" He said, "I want some water. I'm thirsty." She's like, "You thirsty?" She's like, "I can't give you no water. I'm a Samaritan,
right?
You know, I'm like a minority.
Yeah,
you Jewish. I can't give you feet. Quench your thirst."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Well, look, what about this? You could drink from me."
Okay.
And she say, "Okay." So she drank with him and said, "What are you about to do?" She said, "I'm about to go back home."
Uh-huh.
So who you on? You ain't married. You about to go back home to who? The man you had and the other man you had before that you wasn't married to.
Okay.
So he witnessed to her and then just he quenched her thirst. Like, look, you don't got to keep on running back to this well to replenish yourself. That's what a woman not trusting.
Uh-huh.
Going or the Christian, I would say the believer that say they're a believer but not trusting God with the least, they he gonna have to go back. So then when our kids see us model certain behaviors, they model them.
Oh, absolutely, man. 100%. That's the unfortunate part.
So it's just, it gets to the point of being good stewards.
That's right.
Because if I don't own a $200 pair of jeans.
And don't want to.
Because I know if I bring them in the house, my wife going to be like, "Who you playing the lottery? What you get? What kind of raise you get?" She's like, "I know you don't roll like that."
Okay.
Somebody give you them for free. The ones at the Goodwill?
Yeah. You found them in the street.
She's like, I know you did.
You didn't buy them.
So that's, you done changed. She'll be like, "You changed. What's going on with you?"
Right.
You got some problems?
Materialistic stuff.
She would ask me that immediately. Like, "You got some problems? You got some social issues going on?" So it's like, but to each his own. If you like that, you like that. That's what you like to roll with. But just, it's a psychology of a mindset to say that certain things that I just don't believe in that. And then showing kids certain behaviors, they follow them behaviors. And then get to the point, and I was listening to a guy yesterday. He was talking about, he was interviewing people when he first got into the business of what you into, life insurance, right? And he was selling life insurance. MJ, Young K, he was on the Oprah show. And I talked to him a couple times on the telephone. And he said, Chauncey, he said, what I've discovered is with people and how they do their kids is this. He said, they got to have all the bells and whistles and everything. They got to have the shoes. They got to have the jewelry. They got to have top quality everything. But he said, once they sit in front of me with their portfolio, they broke.
Have none.
They don't have no investments, no retirements, no insurances. So then, but then he said, that not only that, they get the mindset to try to make sure they clothe their kids in the same mindset.
In the same manner.
But he said, I get a person that come in a Dodge Neon with regular clothes on. Like, you know, he clean, might have a suit on.
He might be neat and clean.
But it won't be pizzazz. It won't be, you know, all the bells and whistles. He said, I look at him, he got millions.
Okay. Hey, man, you don't have to look like a million to have a million.
So then he said, imagine what his kids are getting.
Right. It's an inheritance of teaching your children about money, okay? And with tithing comes knowledge and wisdom.
That's right. And then the good stewardship follows.
Because we've had grandparents that maybe never even graduated high school.
Yes, sir.
But were hard workers and understood the value of money.
For economics.
And when they retired, they were able to retire comfortably, okay? Because they did all those the Christian principles of managing your money. They went to church, they tithed it, they took care of their money, and probably left some money as an inheritance, okay? So that's the benefit, is the wisdom and the knowledge, because that teaches you how to manage your money. And to me, that's like priceless.
You can't say it no better, man.
You can't substitute.
You can't.
Any education or anything. When you take people that have never even graduated from high school, that become great money managers. Wisdom and knowledge.
And take you so much further in life. You just look at it like just the balance. So it's like coming at your kids, this is the first thing you come at them with. And then, because they watch everything you do. They watch what you got on your back, what you got to have and everything, and the clothes they got to have and all that. I just look like, I don't have no kids now, but I look at the mentors that I have that do have them and how they press their kids. Like, oh, you want this? You better be like this. You better have this on your report card. If you want to waste my money on those things, you better have these things. So, but then the kids get to the point and say, I really don't need that now. I'm good. I got this. They think about it a lot more.
Yeah.
Because their parents ride them. Like, you want that? All right, it's gonna cost you this.
You have to.
The parents that I know that got it. They got the money that. They could just cash their kids out. They don't even do it.
No.
Just like, you want that? You know what it's going to cost you.
You got to earn it. Not giving you anything. You got
people
earn
that own real estate, that people own business, they had their kids working.
Yeah.
Slaving them.
You're supposed to, man. You're not supposed to just give it to them, Chauncey.
So just look at things and just be able to say, like, so that's the first thing. The first principle is tithing. But talking to your children about money. the first thing is knowing exactly how things have changed or may have changed or not. And it develops some problems as a result to understand and deal with what's going on. So, like, a lot of times when we talk about kids about money, it's good to sit down with your kids and talk about the budget.
Oh, yeah.
The budget. So after you talk about them, what their allowance, what they're going to have to tie, now you showing them what you do. They need to see what you tied.
What you tied. Absolutely.
Yeah, like this. You know? Look, these bills go this A, B, and C. This is how this budget look. This is what we have.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we live in.
It's important, man. It's important because, I mean, when I go to church, I like to see kids put money in the offering, okay? I like to see parents give them, if it's only a dollar.
Yes, sir. $2.
What you're doing is you're building, you know, the principles of giving while they're young. And, again, that's the future of the church, Josh. We gotta raise them that way.
Yeah, because in life we have ups and downs, and just having the praise and the up and down even when you have loss. That's the second thing, talking to your kids when you lose a job. So if I'm used to having name brand everything because both my parents working and one of them lose a job,
mm-hmm.
How I'm going to deal with that as a kid that don't tie and that don't believe, that don't go to church all the time? What, how's it going to affect me if I don't get to have the latest clothes? What do you think is going to happen to me? If I don't have no substance in knowing about tithing and being thankful for the air that God gave me, the clothes on my back, the food, loving parents.
You'll get them, probably in the wrong way. You go out and steal.
Yeah, steal. Tenter tantrums.
Yeah. Okay.
You know?
But, you know, that's the important piece is to, you know, have those discussions about, like you say, the budgeting and understanding that some of these things you ask for, you don't really need. Okay.
No, you don't.
We don't. And as parents, that's the way we need to raise our children.
A lot of kids, this is what I see a lot of kids do. And kids probably like, Mr. Woods, I've been hearing you on the radio. You shutting my Christmas down.
He's shutting your Christmas down. Yes.
The coach just stole Christmas.
Yep. Coach, you old Grinch.
Mr. Wills, they be like, kids say, you don't got no cable. You don't celebrate this. You don't celebrate. Like, man, you a robber kid. I say, yes. I'll drive you out the house at 16. Okay. You'll be joining the military. But you'll eat good. You'll have the best workout plan.
Okay.
You'll be the best kid ever. But you won't have the glamour.
All that junk.
You won't have all that junk.
You know, because think about it, man. I used to watch, you know, kids get stuff for Christmas.
Man, I hate it.
It was like come February.
I can't take it.
That stuff
all the toys
stuff
broke,
gone, or they don't play with it. It's in a closet somewhere. And it said, you know what? I'm not going to do that to my children.
Nuh-uh.
Okay? I'm not going
to
do it.
Yeah, it go back to like what my father said. It seemed like we are kind of not like a repeat of a show, but it's like it go all the.
It's
like
a theme. It's a theme, man.
Father said, what you need it for?
That's right.
That need and that want.
And that want.
He said, you get one want and everything else is need.
It's need. Never had lights cut off. Never had our gas cut off.
That's right.
Those are the things you need.
I had a car in the 10th grade. And then when my mother and my father broke up when I was in the 7th and 8th grade, they separated for a minute. And the principles my mother and father taught me when my mother was sick, we was living in Mississippi. I was going to Cherry Lane Middle School in Jackson. And somehow they had it set up different states. I could drive as long as my mama was in the car to get a doctor's appointment.
Oh,
so
okay.
We had a car. So I was driving in the 8th grade. Going to the 9th grade, they did something, some stipulations where I could drive. I was like, this is, I'm saying, I'm going to sip. I say them to you. I'm like, this is where it's at. So I'm driving, and I'm going to the grocery store. We're getting my mother getting her check, and we getting a Social Security check because my dad was retired. And we living off all that. We living in a two-bedroom. We buying furniture and everything, and I'm managing all the money.
That's
I managed
awesome.
All the money in the 7th, 8th grade. I remember that. My little sister depended on me for her allowance. I was going to church with my Aunt Ollie. And she was coaching me and telling me and just teaching me how to pray and making sure that I don't blow the money. I had all the money to myself. I was going to get my hair cut. I was going to these places. And I had the whole check.
Great testimony,
you know?
Man.
I had the whole check. And I remember that. My mom was like, here, you got it. Make sure you get my medication. Make sure you get this. Make sure you get that. And she trusted me. And that's the relationship you want with God. You want to be able to, like, raise your child up so they won't stray off. And you be like, look, I put these principles in you. So you can learn to take care of your family and your mm-hmm. people. And it's on your back. It's on your back. If it's good or bad, it's on your back. So that's just a flashback I had about being a child and being talked about money. My aunt even told my mom, like, look, sign it over to Chauncey, and I'll teach him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll teach him. Because her husband was a banker, and she was a teacher. She's a doctor now. So, like, they had money. They had bread. So if we needed anything, they would help us.
Right.
She showed me how to manage it. She was like, look, all right, these bills like this, here's the checkbook. And I'm like, man, I just sit up and just sometimes I just count the money. And the kids be like, they be on the internet with stacks. I had all my whole monthly income, and I'd be like laid out. sit out that this go to this. Yeah.
You were doing your budget.
Yeah, I was. As a little kid, the budget, in the eighth grade. And it's just a good flashback to have and look at them principles, because I was sad when my mom and dad broke up. Mm-hmm. For that time, they did. My dad ended up coming back, and we ended up moving back, and I ended up going back to Heights in the ninth grade. But them 2 years was that was revealing to me that I had to be a man real quick and real fast. And it was hard. And my little sister, she trusted me. And to this day, she looked to me, not like I'm her daddy, but like I'm her older brother.
Yeah.
But I'm not the oldest brother. I'm the baby brother.
Same
but
here. I'm the baby brother.
She had that experience with me where I managed her life.
Mm-hmm.
So at times, she tried to rebel, but she like, man, he was over my life, me and my mama. My mama was sick because everybody else was up here. My mama took the two youngest kids. So I'm sharing a compassionate story with the audience. So
that's good, man. That's what we do.
They never knew that. Somebody in my family probably like, damn, they did leave, but I didn't know they trusted him like that.
Yeah, man, we run parallels. I'm the same way. I'm young as eight. My refer to me as the baby big brother.
Yep. And it's kids. It's kids in this community probably doing that right now.
Well, I'm sure it is, man.
It's some smart kids in our community, man.
You know,
taking care of their mama with the little that they have, and then just make you think.
But I think part of this having that talk with your kids about money is extremely important. But I also think it's important to make them understand the need to have some kind of religious base as they grow up. Now, when they get older, they make their own choices. But as parents, you should at least force them to have that exposure.
That's right.
And then as they get older, let them make a decision. But don't allow them on Sunday morning not to get up and have some responsibility to go and worship at somebody's church.
That's right. I want to ask you a question. Like, I don't have kids, so I want to ask you this question, Tony. Now, I was my situation was forced on me to learn about money with my mom being sick. Now, for you got a couple kids, right?
Yes, I do.
So how do you talk to the older one and the younger one? Like, say if you got a preteen in the house and you got a little kid. You got not a toddler, but 11-year-old and a 17-year-old. How do you differentiate between those two when you're looking at finances and you're talking about money in the household? How do you do that? What's the conversation?
Both of them were like only like a year and a half apart, so it really wasn't a huge gap. Okay. But
if boy and a girl. So how do you do that? Like, baby, this is son, this is.
Yeah, well.
You got a scenario? I know you got a scenario.
It was a totally different conversation that I'd have with my son.
Give it to me.
And with my daughter. Okay?
Give it to the audience.
You know.
Because it's boy, girl.
With my son, it was about, what does it mean to be a man?
Ah.
Okay. These are the principles that you need to have when you call yourself being a man.
And he married a good brother. I like him.
Oh, yeah.
I call him little brother when I see him.
Well, he crazy about you, man.
Yeah, I'm proud of him.
Being respectful.
Yep.
Okay, to your parents, to your grandparents, respectful to your sister. Okay, when the day comes that you find a wife, okay, I want you to be extremely respectful to her. You also got to be the man of the house. And it's okay to let her have decisions about finance.
Submissive, yep.
But you must take the principles that you've seen here that you grew up with
and apply them to your.
Because we don't know what that's going to be like. Okay, whoever that person might be. But at some point in time, you need to make them understand these are the principles that we will manage our money by in our household.
Okay.
And it's worked out. I mean, my son, he found a young lady that is just 100% behind him, and it's been great. Okay. My daughter, it took her a little longer because, again, she had the same principles about when you find a guy.
The right one.
Okay. This is what he must be about.
Okay? Design. This is his design.
And it took, it was probably about a 10-year between him and her. It took her 10 years, okay? And
but not 10 guys.
Mm. Oh, no.
There you go. See what I'm saying? She didn't see the conversation?
One guy. She brought
10
home.
10 years.
That was it.
Not 10 guys.
No.
One guy.
Because
she went, what is it called? Looking for love in all the wrong places.
Looking for love in all the wrong places.
It wasn't. It was like you put something in her.
Oh, she had the list.
Yep.
She had the list. And she had to check.
Hear that, audience? The list.
The list.
Tony, you got a book. It's a book in your spirit.
And it ain't the a pass list. And fail either.
The list.
Okay.
For your daughter.
It's a list. Okay. And you got to pass every one of these categories.
Man, we might have to write a financial book for the little girl, daddy's little girl.
Okay.
The list.
I'd be happy to.
The financial list. You got to give me the financial list for the daddy's little girl.
And, anybody that know her husband would tell you, She did it. She got it. She nailed it. Mm. The guy is the perfect guy.
That's
okay?
It. Praise the Lord.
He understands what I instilled in my daughter is what she requires in her man. And it's worked out great,
and they say it worked like that. That's like for a kid when he like getting to the point of building a relationship, a lot of women would choose a man that reminds them of their father.
Yeah.
But then for that girl that don't have that relationship with a father, it's got to be somebody to step in place, like a pastor or an uncle or somebody. But if they're not there, if they're not spiritually grounded, now it's 10. It's 10 for 10. Like Myers, it's 10 for 10.
It's 10 for 10, man. And we see it. I mean.
I call it the merry-go-round.
Yeah.
So it's like, till I find a person.
I'm going to keep rotating them in and out.
Or then, as a woman say, I'm going to make the man, which they going to fail at that.
Can't work. Don't work.
That don't work. Like, now you're trying to build a man, trying to dress a man.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're trying to teach him financial principles. You bankrupt by the time that happens.
Okay. Financially and morally.
Yes.
And mentally.
You
bankrupt.
You distraught.
Yeah.
I see it on social media all the time. Like, you can tell when our sisters hurt in our community that when they hurt in a relationship, they go right there and pour it out because they didn't chose situations where the men were volatile in their relationship with money.
Okay.
In their relationship with Christ. So if you volatile in those two areas, that's chaos.
Chaos. You're just asking for it. Trouble. It won't work. It won't work, man. And, I mean, a prime example is I watch. You know, when I'm out in the public, I'm always watching people.
Yep.
And I look at a dude, and I watch, you know, looking at his dress, his mannerism, you know, how he interacts with people.
His pride in himself.
And it's like, you know what? That guy's a loser.
Yep. He's waiting time bomb ticking.
But yet here comes somebody, you know, supposed to be, you know, his woman.
Yeah.
And it's like.
He leaving her behind. It look like he don't respect her.
The way he talked to her, man, it's like, baby, you don't need to do that.
Yeah.
Okay? You can do better than that.
But then look how that's trans. Look at the translation down to the kids.
Oh, okay.
So now if I'm in a relationship, like, here go mine as a child now. Because I don't have kids, but I'm going to tell you how it was. Mama, can I have this? Nope. Okay. Daddy, what your mama say?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, y'all do it like a team on me.
That's it. It's a team, baby. Tag team.
Okay. This is what it is over in this house. I don't want to live no more. You know what I said? Little kid.
Right.
I'm going to move to my sister's house. Let me move across the street.
Yeah, because y'all know nothing. Y'all don't know nothing.
Y'all got teamwork. I can't have this. Y'all need to have no teamwork so I can get what I want and destroy my life.
Right. Yeah.
That's what kids do.
And a guy tell me one time, he told all his kids, he said, y'all need to leave home now. So y'all know everything. Don't stay here and be stupid.
Oh Lord, man, I got here's a tip right here. We'll close the show out. But here's the tip. It says, compared to your younger kids, your preteens and teenagers are most apt to have difficulty accepting the fact that they can't do and have all the things they have become used to. Peer pressure can be a powerful thing.
You betcha. So and so got a pair.
Yes, right.
So and so got a new. Pair of jeans, so and so.
That's right.
Well, so and so don't live here.
That's right. That's right.
That's not how we do things in this
stand
house.
Up, if you stand up to your kids, that means you still love them.
Oh, yeah.
That don't mean you don't love them less because they didn't get the shoes. They didn't get the new shoes that came out this month.
Mm-mm.
That don't mean you love them less. Don't trick yourself financially. Say, on God, we trust on back of every dollar.
Yeah.
So don't trick yourself because you bought them something that don't got no substance in it. Let them earn it and let them feel the pleasure of building themselves as men and women.
Be the parent. I don't want to be friends with my kids. All right? I'm the parent, and they understand it. We got a great relationship with their mom and with me, but they know who the parents are.
That's right. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.